This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The shoppers who never showed. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Forecasters were expecting a spike in retail sales during April, but the government said today there was nothing of the kind. Retail sales last month rose just 0.1%, with consumers proceeding cautiously despite warmer weather, taking out volatile spending on cars, gasoline, food, and the so-called core retail sales fell slightly, not exactly a boom in the making. Now, economic data from China today covering April suggested across-the-board weakness in the economy there. From output to investment to consumption, all missing the expectations of experts. These are leading to renewed calls for Beijing to ease up on its efforts to rein in its bubbly credit markets. Marketplace regular Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York, was traveling in Hong Kong when he took our call. Chris, good morning.
Hey, David. How are you?
So you and I have talked on this program about China's efforts to take the froth out of its market for what had been easy credit. Some saw it as a bubble. Where are we now?
Well, we're at that point where they're probably getting really cold feet about this whole process. They've initiated new regulations. They've cracked down on the non-bank lenders. And what's happened is, particularly in third-tier, second-tier cities, the financing for real estate, which is 40% of the economy, has dried up. And we're seeing price declines in the first-tier cities, Beijing, Shanghai, for the first time ever. So it's moved into, I think, a new stage. There is clearly now a correction underway.
Because we know in the United States and Europe about real estate bubbles and the hazards there, but easing off of a bubble without popping it destructively is a complicated process.
There seems to be sort of a split view. You know, there are those who worry that no one has ever successfully popped a real estate bubble. It always ends up in tears. But others say, you know, if anyone can do it, it would be the Chinese, because they have such firm control over what happens in their economy.
But ultimately, right, Chris, the trick is to keep the Chinese economy growing just without fueling destructive easy credit.
Yeah, and that's the really tough part of it. There's no question they had to do something about this credit bubble now. As massive as it is, it's still within their reach. If they let it run much longer, if they let bad loans continue to accumulate for another few years, it would outgrow them. And so it's come to the point where they have to tackle it now. There's no choice.
Our favorite roving economist, Christopher Lowe at FTN Financial, speaking from Hong Kong. Chris, thank you.
David, my pleasure.
Officials from the small city in the San Francisco Bay Area of Vallejo are at the White House today to talk about budgeting from the bottom up. The residents there have voted in something called participatory budgeting after Vallejo went through bankruptcy. Capital Public Radio's Pauline Bartolone tells us what it looks like when residents choose the projects for which their city pays.
This is what happens when a city invites residents to dream up ways to spend $2.4 million.
My proposal is street lighting.
You say a day use area for the homeless, like what
kind of? Outdoor fitness equipment at the waterfront.
Okay.
Similar to, like, I would think, like Venice Beach.
Vallejo residents at these brainstorming sessions want a public bank, more ice cream trucks, and meditation classes to end student truancy.
Often participatory budgeting events are quite cathartic.
Aliyah Gage is a city liaison for the process. She says residents may even have fun while getting closer to government.
at our final assembly, we had Motown tunes on, and we even got some of our city council members to boogie a little bit.
Residents are now whittling down 620 ideas.
Will the project be accessible to the public?
59377.
The projects go for a citywide vote after months of workshopping. It's funded by a sales tax that residents voted in after the city's bankruptcy. The project that got the most votes last year? Fixing potholes.
Potholes represent a basic level of service, and they indicate quality of life.
Participatory budgeting is not just about repairing streets. City Manager Dan Keene says it's also restoring confidence.
You know, the city cares about us. They want to know what we have to say. And when we've given them our feedback, they followed through and they did what we asked.
Keene says at first he didn't believe residents would show up for something as mundane as city budgeting.
And I think I was dead wrong about that.
But a city council member says residents need to use the process or they might lose it. Less than 600 people showed up for the brainstorming sessions. The challenge for them is fitting their imagination inside city limits. From Vallejo, California, I'm Pauline Bartolone for Marketplace.
And a court in Europe ruled this morning that Europeans should be able to tell Google to take down links to old unflattering information about themselves. The case involves an old newspaper ad that would pop up when people searched the name of a man in Spain. It was about the man forced to auction property to pay a debt. Now, it's not false information or mistaken identity, but the case has long been settled, and the court ruled that the man has a right to bury the idea that he's some kind of deadbeat. In a statement today, Google said this ruling is a disappointment for search engines and online publishers in general. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.